and welcome back to the Mood Lab. Today, you're in for a treat because I think it is the second man ever that we will be having on the podcast. So we really will have such a good time. I invited Ryan King. He describes himself in his bio, actually, as the dad you never had. And honestly, I feel that way. It was so beautiful and so nourishing to talk to him. He actually is a father. He is a husband. And he's been married for quite some years, but you'll hear all about that in that episode. We talk about wisdom, leadership, marriage, manhood. And honestly, just a couple of weeks ago, some guys in my church approached me being like, hey, we love your podcast, but it's not really targeted that much to men. So I was like, well, you're in for a treat because I'm going to talk to Ryan King. And there we go. Here you've got your episode. And honestly, it's not only for men, it's for men and women. And we really covered both sides. And it's just been so nourishing to have this kind of conversation to really dive into the things that we all want to know about and really diving into how our current times form us and influence us and how we can find our ways in that world. And everything that we discussed is based on the fact that Ryan also has and brings in a perspective that is rooted in Christ. And that I think is so powerful and so beautiful. We also cover the question why a lot of modern men won't commit. We talk about loyalty and we talk about how you can really be in a healthy masculine expression. And honestly, without further ado, I just think we should start and jump right in. Just before we do that, hit the subscribe button. Leave 5 stars if you appreciate this podcast and share it with your friends. That would mean the world. And now let's just dive in and Ryan will introduce himself. Hi, Ryan. I'm so happy to welcome you on the Mood Lab podcast. And as the first thing, would you just introduce yourself? Tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and all that.
Yeah, so I'm Ryan King. Most people know me on Instagram as the Wisdom of Kings. I am an entrepreneur. I've owned my own business for about 10 years. I'm 40. Been married 15 years. I have 2 sons. And sometimes people ask me to talk about stuff on podcasts that, you know, as like a side gig.
That's a pretty concise introduction. You know, it's actually so funny because just yesterday I was at church and a couple of friends of mine, guys, actually told me about like that they listen to my podcast and that they feel like they really like it, but there's like some guy content missing. And I was like, yeah, well, it's kind of not targeted to you, which is obvious. But I did tell them, but you're in for a treat because I'm actually having another masculine person on my podcast. And we are going to talk about things that concern manhood, leadership, and all that stuff. So I'm really excited that we do this because I have something to deliver to them basically as well. And that's a bit funny, but I feel like, yeah, I cover so much of like the feminine side on here. And I am so, just always so curious to open this conversation because I feel like in this world, and I think you probably think similarly about this, in this world that we are living in, I feel like there is so much that we are consuming that tells you a new narrative, or maybe it's not that new, but a certain narrative about being a man, being a woman, and maybe that it's not even that important anymore. And I always felt actually left out of that conversation. And I just feel like there needs to be a different narrative for those of us who feel like there is an importance in being a man, being a woman, and also creating relationships between each other. And so, yeah, that's why I'm really excited to talk today. And I would just love, like, how did it start for you? Or how did you actually get into talking about things like manhood, leadership, and all of that online?
So I didn't know any of this existed as far as these dialogues, you know, about femininity and masculinity. I've been retired for about 3 years And I was just kind of looking for something to do. And I had the idea to write a book. And, you know, I have two sons, they're 13 and 15. And that's kind of where the name of my Instagram page comes from. It's called The Wisdom of Kings. And it was originally just going to be like, kind of like the book of Proverbs of things that I've learned, you know, as a father. I was always, you know, I've always been worried about, like, you know, something were to happen to me and I wasn't around, what would I want my boys to know? And that was the, I mean, very, very first iteration of The Wisdom of Kings was going to be for that. I don't know how it happened. I just got, my account just blew up like overnight and all the, like, it was very abrupt and it was a lot to process. And so, and I was kind of on my heels about it because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything. I didn't know any of the terminology. I didn't know anything, you know? And so people were throwing stuff at me about all this, like I knew about it and I didn't. And I think in a lot of ways, that's part of why my content does resonate, because mine is based on my actual life experience. You know, so many people that are creating content for this stuff, just like all social media, the demographic trends young. And I'm fairly young. I mean, I'm 40. Most of my audience is in their 30s, you know. I just happen to, in terms of experience, I've been married for 15 years. I've got teenage boys. So I'm one of the few voices that's actually can back up the stuff I'm talking about with like real life. And that's most of my content that I write is stories about stuff that I've done wrong, the lessons I've learned. And I think there's just something very deep that I've found globally. There's father hunger. There haven't been enough men play. You know, we've had action stars, right? We've had Rambos, we've had, you know, all these kinds of things. But in terms of like that father figure that you can go to for advice, that is objective, it's calm, there's a real need for that with young men. And what I was really surprised by is, you know, I expected women to really come after me and hate everything I had to say. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And so I realized women have father hunger too, you know, and I think that's why, I think the reason women don't react that way towards me in terms of being offended is because I'm not talking at them of like a pointing fingers thing. It's kind of like everything I write, I picture it like I'm teaching my children something. And, you know, and there are a lot of 30-year-old women that have never had been taught certain things that they should have been taught that as a 12-year-old. They're just now learning it, you know, but it's still an important lesson. So, yeah, my introduction to all this has been quite the whirlwind, but it's been a blessing too, and it's an honor for the people that do listen and pay attention and value what I have to say. So
it's so beautiful. I feel like, I mean, it just shows that you have something to share and it resonates. And I think that's, I mean, I see it in that space, and I've been probably growing up online here and there, just like literally had my first blog thing at 15 or 16, sharing about fashion stuff, and then just like growing as a person, and had this whole journey going into the new age and trying to help myself. And I've shared this on here so many times, and then having my whole return journey to faith. And along all of that, one of my main things I think that I was myself looking for was like, I guess this like role model in terms of women and men that I could look up to. And as you said, also probably a part of like a father figure or a mother figure that I could resonate with, and that I would feel like this is a healthy kind of portrayal of what I want to, or whom I want to become. Because I've seen growing up, and that's something that I can be very open about, I didn't have that role in my life as well. So I didn't have a good portrayal of how a marriage could look like, or how a mother, just can also be the wife to her husband and also take care of her children, and like how two people like love each other and care for their children, like all of that I didn't have an image for. So getting into my early 20s, I was like completely at a loss of how relationships work, literally. I have no idea. And it's only been the past couple of months, actually, for myself, that I now am surrounded by beautiful, healthy, married people and also people that are in beautiful relationships. And I feel like I've been really provided with a lot of that I can kind of look at and see, okay, what is possible. So I'm really grateful for that. And so I see that there is such a need. So that's why I can absolutely resonate with why your content would, yeah, just find that resonance with others. I would love if we could just go a bit into, okay, what is manhood and how does it look like in these days, in the day and age that we live in, to be a man? And I feel like it's so nuanced and there is so much going on in the world around us, like I said in the beginning, that it's probably, I can just imagine that it must be as difficult as being a woman. And I would just love to hear your thoughts on it, your take on it, and how... maybe also going in the direction of how a man can grow in being a man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a wonderful topic. There's a lot of, I'll try to be succinct because there's a lot of different tangents I could go down talking about that.
Yeah.
Forget who the quote is by, and I'm probably not going to say it perfectly, but the best definition of masculinity and manhood that I've found is the glad assumption of sacrificial responsibility. And so you said earlier, there's all these narratives and, you know, is it hard to be a man in the modern age and all that stuff? There are certain things that are universal. Being a man now is no different than it's ever been. There's just more noise. And so part of being a man now, and this is a distinction that a lot of women will get offended by, but women are far more easily influenced than men, right? And so why do girls do so much better in school than boys? It's not because they like school. It's because they don't want to disappoint the teacher. They don't want to disappoint the parents. And they're told, make good grades, make good grades, make good grades. And most girls, they comply. Women are much more compliant, whereas men are usually the stubborn ones that don't. They're like, I don't care. I'll make an F just to prove a point. And so part of being masculine is being contrarian in spite of whatever, you know, is going on in the world. And that is the balance that women need, right? And so if you talk about, you know, kind of bigger picture concepts, you know, like the feminine has traditionally been associated with creativity and spontaneity and playfulness, you know, and, you know, so women, you know, obviously are more in touch with their emotions and their hormones, you know, and that's where I think a lot of this, you know, you talk about narratives. It's just a fantasy to think that, you know, men and women are biologically different in terms of our base hormones. Okay. That's not arguable. And for me, you know, again, women might get offended, you know, but I remember we were going to a dog breeder like 10 years ago to get a German Shepherd. My son wanted a German Shepherd. So I was talking to this woman, she was a dog breeder, and asked her, like, what's the difference between the males and the females? You know, she said, well, you know, the females are just like us, you know, when they're in heat, they don't want to be away from anybody. They're really emotional. They're needy. They're clingy. And they want to be right by you all the time, you know, whereas the males, they'll hang out, you know, but once every 5 minutes, they'll get up and they'll go walk the perimeter and make sure there aren't any threats. And they like the family, but the girl dog can't be, it causes them stress and anxiety to be away from the family because they're emotionally dependent. And if you've ever had a dog, you know they actually do kind of have emotions. They really do. Yeah.
We do. My mom does. And it's exactly as you described. We have a female one at home at my mom's house. And it's
and
like
so
that.
I think part of it for me is that I've, you know, I don't really care what the narratives are about how a man should be or men and women the same. Like there's no argument to be had. Men and women are even remotely the same. Hormonally, our brains, if you look at the brain scans, women have far more cross brain activity from right to left than men. Men are more strictly right brained or left brained. It's not even arguable. Anything that speaks out in favor of homogenizing us into being the same is propaganda with an agenda. So I don't think the definition of masculinity has changed at all. I think men feel uncertain that it's okay to just stand up and say, no, I will be a man. And if you don't like it, there's the door. And that doesn't have to be contentious. That doesn't have to be angry. That doesn't have to be anything that's violent. It's just a matter of like, I will not be moved. I am a rock. I'm a cliff. I'm not moving. You're going to have to build the road around me. You're going to have to build a tunnel through me because I'm not moving. And I think, you know, very few women have the intestinal fortitude to stand against the tide like that, right? You're behind that, you know, that wall that a man is saying, no, you can't go any further. And the women are behind there, and that's where they feel safe. They know where the boundaries are. They know what's allowed. They know what's not allowed. And within that, within the walls that that man, that, you know, those boundaries that the man patrols and enforces, she has complete freedom to be creative and to be expressive. And, you know, it's like one of the word pictures that I imagine is like a woman is like a river, right? But without banks, the river can flood. And that's, you know, a woman without any guidance or structure at all. Nobody's saying like what feminism did was, you know, there used to be like a dam on the river. The woman couldn't be a woman, right? And so feminism was the answer of like, don't dam me up. Let me be a woman and let the water flow freely, right? And what we've done is we removed the dam, which should have been removed, but what we removed the boundaries too. And so it just created a flood.
Yeah.
It's a swamp now. Whereas the ideal picture is the woman is the water and she flows and she changes every day. You know, like if I go stand by a river today, it's going to be different water tomorrow, right? A woman is different every day. Her hormonal cycle, any woman that's mature enough and objective enough to admit it will tell you like, yeah, what I want today is completely different than what I wanted last week, right? I've been married for 15 years. Her personality stays the same, but her moods, what she wants, what she's in the mood for, it's different every single day. And the same, you know, the same goes for men. Like we're very task oriented. We're very driven. We're very focused. We want to conquer. And we really, really are driven by sex, you know, and women get all offended that way. But there's this really funny anecdote that I've seen. And it's, I don't know how, it's probably had 100 million views on YouTube. Women, all these things that women say they hate about men, aggression, and he never pays attention to me. He's never in the moment. He's so task oriented. All he wants is sex. So this woman she worked at a law firm or something where it was mostly men. Well, this man had been wearing testosterone cream. That's one of the ways he was on testosterone replacement therapy. And it was a cream. And he'd been sitting on this leather chair. Well, he gets up and that cream is still on the chair. And this woman sits in that chair for like an hour. And that testosterone cream just soaks up through her arm. And she tells this story about how all of a sudden she'd been working there for like 5 years. And like after an hour, she started looking at all the guys and was like, when did he get so hot? She was like looking at their butts and like checking them out. She's like, why do I want to jump him? Like I've worked with him forever. And she got really, she was like had super short tempered. It was like snapping at everybody. And she went and got like, she's like, I went and got so much work done. Like I was answering emails. Like I wasn't putting up with anybody's bullshit. She was just like, you're like, you know, and she was like, what is happening? You know, and she asked, and the guy ended up coming up to her. He's like, I didn't even think about it, but my testosterone cream was on there. She's like, so that's what it's like to be a man? No wonder you want sex all the time, you know? And so I think so much of this is like, it's like we think that the rules of biology just don't apply if we think about them, you know? And like, yes, we are, you know, we're not animals. We have a higher brain functioning for a reason. To completely deny our biology of hormones is asinine, you know, and we don't do it with anything in practicality. Okay. Like if you just look at, and you have to make generalizations to discuss things like this, right? As a generalization, men are more brave. They're stronger. They're, you know, more decisive, you know, whereas women are a little less sure of themselves, all those cliches, right? If that was what we're doing in society now, that's causing everybody like you to not know what to do in your 20s is because you haven't been told what you are, right? Whereas if you look at something like, you know, in the United States, we have professional men's football, right? And so you have a guy that is as a quarterback, and he's the one that throws the ball. And then you have a bunch of guys in front of him that are called the offensive line. And they're just these giant fat dudes that keep somebody from tackling the other guy. They know who they are. They know their role. They're not mad that they're not a different position. They're like, this is who I am. These are my gifts. These are the things that I'm good at. And these are the things that I'm not good at. And between all of us working together and all of us doing separate jobs based on our strengths, and compensating for our weaknesses, you're covering my weakness while I'm using my gift. You know, that's how you have a successful NFL team. You know, it's the same thing applies if you're in a military unit. You have somebody that's a scout. You have somebody that's a sniper. You have somebody, you know, you have these different roles. If you walk into a business, they're not going to tell you like, hey, just do whatever job you feel like. It's going to, no, your job, if it's a business that has a goal of making money, they're going to assign you a role that is suited to your interests and your gifts. They're not going, if you're a marketing person, they're not going to say you should be good at accounting. You're not going to, no, that's not my thing. Hire an accountant, right? But what we're doing now is we're telling women like, you should be good at things that men are good at. And we're telling men, you should be good at things that women are good at. And it's like, I'm never, ever going to be as nurturing as a woman. My best day on the, and a lot of women say, oh, you're just not trying. It's like, that's like telling a woman, hey, go pick up 500 pounds. Oh, if you really wanted to, you could pick it up. No, you couldn't. It's too heavy for you. There are certain things that women expect men to be able to do that while I'm giving my very best, you're telling me I'm not trying hard enough. It's like, I don't know how to try harder.
Yeah.
If you want, you know, and so in terms of, you know, like a practical example for most women, they're the heartbeat of a relationship. They're the one that has to talk about feelings. And they're, you know, a man that doesn't, the part of a man's brain that feels emotions doesn't have the capacity for language. I don't know if you know that. Most people don't know that. The part of the brain that feels things is in a part is not connected for men in a way that has the capacity for language. That's why women asking us questions, leading questions about how we're feeling and what we're thinking, we need it because we don't know how to get there on our own. But second of all, women can't be frustrated by that. Like, why doesn't he talk to me about his feelings? Like, we don't know how. You're sitting waiting for us to lead them, right? And so, again, it goes back to leadership. But on a macro scale, it's like, yeah, the man is the leader and the woman is, you know, submissive and all these kinds of things. That's on a high level, like satellite view thing. Of course, we have these labels that give us the structure of like those banks on the river, right? But in real life, at a micro level, sometimes you know, if a relationship is that word picture of like a river and the banks, right? Like no two rivers are going to be the same. Every woman is going to have different needs and every man is going to have different gifts. I personally am pretty articulate about what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling, but that doesn't mean there's something wrong with a man that isn't, you know? And so you have to take and realize if you're a woman, you know, that in some areas you are going to have to be the emotional heartbeat of staying connected and staying romantic. Because a man is so task oriented and so driven, he can go 3 weeks without even realizing that there hasn't been any emotional connection, even if it's important to him. And I think a lot of women sit back passively in a lot of ways. They're controlling about the wrong things, right? They're like, they're passive about maintaining the relationship. They wait for him to lead, but then once he doesn't lead, then they go the opposite direction and nag and be controlling and be angry that he's not leading. It's like, why don't you lead me like this? Just like you've got it backwards, you know? So, I mean, as far as masculinity, I mean, I think, I don't think it's ever really changed. It's the glad assumption of sacrificial responsibility. It's your job, you know, like the women and children get the lifeboats. If the ship is sinking, the women and children get the lifeboats. Like as a man, you know, we dream of being a hero. We dream of dying for in a blaze of glory, defending the woman we love or defending our children or whatever. Like there's a reason those stories, there's the hero always dies at the end. And it's been true in every heroic story we've had across cultures, across time. There's a reason that theme is always the same. It's the hero's journey. It's sacrifice and it's nobility and it's doing the right thing even if you don't get any reward from it, right? It's I'm doing the reward that I get from that nobility and from that sacrifice is that it changes me on the inside. I know I'm a man because I did it, and I know, and it wasn't for money and it wasn't for sex and it wasn't for attention or publicity or any of that stuff. I did it because I am that kind of man. I know when I look in the mirror who I am.
I just, this question came up to me while you were talking, but then now I'm reflecting upon it and I'm not even that sure how relevant that actually is, because I'm thinking, so basically I do feel like how a guy who feels like he's been led astray, and like a lot of those, the core that we know to be true, our biology that we know to be true. I mean, I myself am very connected to that, and I desire to live in being this biologically feminine yes. being, and I desire to create relationships around me that reflect that as well. And that's the path that I discovered for myself, and I found that return to that state basically, and I'm growing in that, maturing in that. And now I'm thinking, okay, so for a man who feels like he's been buying into different kind of narratives, like how can he find his way back? And like, are there certain things or sources or things that you like, practices maybe, or something like that, or things to read, I don't know, to connect back to that? But then my head was also like, I have a feeling that way more women have been led astray because of our emotions than actually men. And it kind of comes back to that, what you were actually already sharing, that a lot of men know that they are men and they're biologically wired this way, and they're way more simple about it. And it's us women who've actually done, I would say we've done a lot of damage in this world, actually, where we've gone into different spaces that have been previously predominantly male, and we went in there and brought in all our emotions and stirred things up, and we were like, okay, but now we need to care about this, and we need to care about that, and then we need to care about all people. And we kind of made spaces focused on different things. We turned them around into things that now care about things that maybe we don't need to care about as much as we now do, because it doesn't really help anyone. And I'm just wondering, okay, what is your take on that? Is it similar for some men, and how do those men who have been feeling like they've been buying into those narratives because they're so strong, like how can they start finding their way back?
Yeah, so a couple things there. I mean, I think number one for me, what I always go back to is if you find yourself lost, go back to childhood, go back to the fundamentals. You know, every little boy has common dreams, right? You dream of being the one to hit the game-winning shot or rescue the princess or whatever. You know, every little girl, they don't do this anymore because they're trying to make little girls into men. But from all of human history, little girls wanted to be princesses, and they wanted to be rescued by a handsome knight. You know, like, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
You know, but then we're force-fed an agenda that, you know, now women are the heroes and men are the helpless ones. And then, like, that... Okay, great. Everybody's equal. Well, that woman is going to hate that man for having to do that. She's going to resent him forever that she had to rescue him. And he's going to feel pathetic his whole life that he's having to have a woman rescue him. And I don't care what you think about equality. You might think, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Be in a relationship like that for 5 years and you're going to hate each other. You're going to hate each other. So these aren't things that can be argued with. I don't care what the recent Disney movie said about how girls are the heroes. Girls don't want to be heroes. Nobody's asking. Girls aren't asking to be Spider-Man. They're not. Little girls are not being like, I wish I was Spider-Man. They're not. They like being rescued. They're like, look at me. I want to be. Look, watch the behavior of a four-year-old girl and tell me she wants to be Spider-Man. She does not want to be Spider-Man. She wants to be the center of attention. It's like, am I beautiful? Am I amazed by me? Do you want to watch every single thing that I do? Am I captivating to you? Like, it is universal in the female heart. They want to be adored. They want to be doted on. They don't want to go sacrifice for somebody. They don't want to die in a fire. That's not what little girls want, okay? So I think the best thing to do if you're lost is to just stop fighting against who you really are and just what did you want as a child? And that's kind of how, and then build it back up from there, you know, and just be honest with yourself about what you really want. Like, and as a woman, I think it's hard for a lot of modern women just say, you know what? I want to just be feminine. I want to be taken care of. I don't want to be tough. Mm. Now, I've learned how to be because I have to be, but no woman is grateful deep down that she's had to learn to be tough. So that would be, you know, the first thing that I would say. I think as far as how to go about it, you mentioned something earlier about role models and what to listen to and what to read and all that stuff. I mean, I think our stories have changed. Masculinity in its essence is aspirational, never attainable. So being the kind of man that I'm talking about, is something that I don't live up to, but no man ever lives up to. And what we've done is we've humanized everything. If you look at our movies for the last 15 years, they're trying to get us to love anti-heroes and show their human side, right? Like that's not what we need. We need something that we can't, like Superman. We need something that we can chase but never reach. We need something that's beyond anything we can become. We don't need more cynicism, like, oh yeah, you know, even Superman's a bad guy sometimes. Like, that's not what we need. We need unrealistic heroes to chase. And so one of the things that I want to write about, and I use this phrase a lot, is emulation beats information. So everybody asks me, what book do I read? What podcast do I listen to? It's like, bro, that's not how we learn. You know, when we're children, we learn to speak by mimicry, by copying, you know. It's how humans learn. If you think that that's just a childhood thing, then you're wrong. You know, like I went to an Orthodox church yesterday. I don't know anything about Orthodoxy. And there was a lot of rituals and bowing and crossing and all this stuff. And guess what I was doing? I was looking at the people next to me and seeing what they were doing. And I was mimicking.
Yeah.
Right. And so that would be what I would say is pick a role model, pick something unattainable. And there's plenty of role models and older movies and literature. I mean, I think if you're like, you know, Captain America and the modern Marvel movies, I think is a great example of an aspirational role model. You know, Aragorn in Lord of the Rings is a great example of an aspirational role model. I don't know as many for women just because I have sons and I'm a man, but there are,
okay.
You know, female characters in literature and in movies that do embody pure femininity. And it's not helpless. You know, and that's where a lot of it goes wrong. I think for women, a lot of them don't like, on some level, they don't like their femininity. They feel like it's shame, something to be ashamed of, that, you know, you can't run as fast as a man. It's like, I mean,
yeah.
Welcome to life. I can't run as fast as Usain Bolt. Like, you know, like welcome to the party. Like, men have to deal with that too. There's certain things that other men are better than us at. And we have to swallow our pride and be like, that dude's just taller than me, or he's just stronger than me, or he's just better looking than me. He's going to get the girl that I want because he's got more charisma. You know, like, we have to deal with that. And women, I think in a lot of ways, there's like this underlying resentment about like the fact that they can't do certain things that a man can do, feeling like it makes them not good enough, instead of realizing like the things that make you wonderful are different. Embrace those things. There's nothing wrong with that. And you'll be happier because you were designed that way for a reason.
Yeah, I think that comes a lot from the narrative that has been going on, at least what I've been told growing up. And I shared this here many times, but I was told like, you're too weak. Like, you have to, like, literally, I could put it in terms of like, you have to man up, like, you have to get stronger, otherwise you will like not make it in this world. And I would actually like try to achieve that, like trying to be as like mechanical and like getting to the top as possible. And I had this like whole image in my head that I need to go into a company at some point and like climb up the ladder, and I need to like be this like person like at the top, and I cannot be anyone else because otherwise I'm a failure, only to discover on this whole journey to burn out a couple of times, and also reaching that state and noticing this is actually not what I want. Like, it doesn't even feel good to me. I'm not happy about it. I don't want to extinguish the fires of the company. It's not even like anything that my heart desires. And I would rather want to be creative and do stuff that feels like way more fulfilling to me. But then you are struggling with this. Oh, but the whole like environment around you, it kind of reinforces you of like, oh, but you're in this position. This is amazing. So, and well, then you're trapped in this whole narrative, which doesn't feel good.
It goes back to, I mean, it really, if you want to get really philosophical about it, okay, it goes back to this idea of individuality. You know, like, you need to, what you need is a man, okay? And what a man needs is a woman. We're not singular together. God created us. First of all, God created Adam, and then he said he needs someone to help him, and he created Eve. And then in our marriage vows, it says two people become one. And that's so contrarian to modern society. Goes against all common sense. And I would argue with anybody in the world, it goes back to the Enlightenment, where this whole idea of individuality even became a thing. Because before we had civilization, you couldn't be an individual. You would get eaten by a tiger. right? Like you had to have a tribe. It wasn't even just, so everything started to fall apart. We did this in the name of female empowerment, so women get to vote, right? And it's called patriarchy now. Like, oh, only men had the power. It wasn't that men had the power. That wasn't what it was about. It was because for most of human history, the base unit of society, the smallest building block of society, was the family unit. It was not the individual. It was the family unit, was the smallest unit in society. And then you had the tribe, which was a group of family units. And then you had the nation state, which was a group of tribes, right? And so ever since we separated out and became individuals, everything has fallen apart. Because as humans, if you believe in Christianity and you believe in the Bible, this is all biblical. It says we are the body of Christ. We were never designed to be the whole body. It's only in unity, working together, one person being the hand, one person being the elbow, one person being the nose. Like we were never, as humans, designed to be self-sufficient as individuals. I as a man need a woman in my life to balance out the things that I am not good at, that I would be too harsh or too mean or too cold or too ruthless or whatever. I need a woman to soften my rough edges, period. I and every man needs a woman to balance out my weaknesses. And every woman needs a man to provide structure, to provide safety, to provide balance, to bring you back out of the chaos that your mind can go into and just settle you back into your nervous system of like, no, hey, and like the women that I talk to on Instagram, like women pay me. I don't even offer coaching services. I don't need money. Like, I don't need this. Like, no, I don't have a husband. I don't have a father. I need a man to talk to. I will pay you to talk to me. I'm like, okay. And literally, I promise you, every single time, all I tell them, all that I do is like, you're not missing anything. You're not missing anything. You've got it figured out. Just do what you told me to do. And they're like, oh, that makes me feel so good. And then they already figured it all out. They didn't need anything from me. They weren't dumb. Yeah. They weren't helpless. There was none of that. It was just, women are so empathetic about everything. And in reality, no decision doesn't have a downside. Anything you do, somebody's going to lose. It's going to cost somebody something. Somebody's going to get hurt, whatever. And a woman can't pull the trigger on that because she's so empathetic of how it's going to affect other people that she can't make herself hurt somebody. And until a man says, hey, listen, you're not a bad person for making that decision. There's nothing wrong with you setting boundaries for yourself. There's nothing wrong with you standing up for yourself or whatever the case may be. And I don't do anything for these women. They're highly intelligent. They've already figured it all out. They just need a man to have that structure and to give them almost permission to say, yes, it's okay to do that. Even if it hurts somebody, it doesn't make you a bad person. And they universally, I've talked to women all over the world of all ages. You're in Portugal. I've talked to women in Brazil. I've talked to women in Australia. I've talked to women in England. I've talked to women in Canada. Every English-speaking country. Anybody that can speak English, I've talked to women, and it's the reaction is universal. It's they're so worked up. Their nervous system has been just wired so tight. And that's what women at the very least need a man for, is just to say, it's okay. It's okay. And you kind of spoke to that earlier. You know, women have gone in and feminized these traditionally male spaces. And the reality of masculinity is there's a part of masculinity that women can't see. It's too brutal. You can't see what we do to each other in war. You don't want to know. You don't want to know. Yeah. You know, there are things that I have to teach my sons that my wife can't know if I want to make them men. Because if she was there, she would make me stop because it's too hard. It'll break them. But sometimes as a man, you have to be broken. God breaks us. God puts us all in situations on purpose. Look at what he did in the Bible. Every character in the Bible, God put them in a situation that he kept putting more and more and more on them until they broke, specifically because in their brokenness, it required them to lean on him. Brokenness is good. And women are always there keeping everything from breaking. And then you wonder why men aren't tough. You only learn how to be tough by being broken. There's all these effeminate men because their mommies didn't let their daddies break them. It's like, oh, it hurts me to see him get yelled at. Then go in the other room. He needs to be broken. He needs his ego broken. He needs his pride broken. He needs a mirror held up to his arrogance, or his, you know, maybe it's not arrogance. Maybe it's cowardice. Maybe he needs a man to look at him and say, "You're a coward. You're a little scared boy, and you don't have the balls to man up and do what you need to do." Maybe that's what he needs to hear. And a woman's never, ever going to say that to her son. She's never going to look her son.
Yeah, that brutal honesty.
But I've done that, and it breaks me. I've broken my sons.
Yeah.
And then I've gone in my room alone and shut the door in the closet and cried about what I had to do, because it broke me to break them.
Mm.
But I am forging men, and I know that it's necessary.
Yeah.
And so I think what you pointed out was a really important point. Like, there is a lot about the world that is ugly. You go into these third world countries, you go into these inner cities, it is ugly. It is decapitating people. It's raping. It's pillaging. It's like, it is awful. Okay. And for most of human history, the whole world was like that. It was outlaws and bandits. And like, if your tribe got conquered, guess what? All the women got sold into, were sex slaves and raped, like Genghis Khan, all that. Like, that was the world. Okay. And that's all. The veneer of civilization is very, very fragile. And women, the only reason this whole thing has been allowed to continue, and women think that it's okay, like, "Oh, don't be mean," is because they live in a civilized world. But what's really funny is that women are all about that kind of stuff until they have sons. Every woman's a feminist until they have a son. And then that's when they reach out to me and say, "What do I do? Because I don't want my son to be a pussy. I've lived with men who are pussies, and I can't take it. We need men. We need men who are willing, who have the stomach to go decapitate a child molester. It's not, I'm not going to be nice about it."
Yeah.
Women are like, "What? Oh, all these men are the Me Too movement. They're rapists and they're all this stuff." It's like, you know why that's not getting punished? Because women told us we can't have the death penalty anymore because, oh, that's somebody's baby. If it was up to men and somebody was a serial rapist, you know what would happen? Her dad and her brothers and her friends and everybody else would peel his skin off and wear his face like a helmet. And nobody would ever rape anybody again. But you know why we can't do that? It wasn't men that decided we didn't have the stomach to treat that shit that way anymore. It was women. You know how many women are like, "But that's somebody's baby. You're going to give him the death penalty? I'm going to give him a slow death penalty, live in front of everybody. Is what I'm going to do, because that's what'll stop it." And so, yeah, you wonder why all this bad stuff goes on. It's because women have come in and they don't listen. It's not your fault. Y'all don't have the stomach to bear what goes on behind closed doors between men. Watch a nature show of two silverback gorillas fighting for females. You know, behind closed doors, that's how men are with each other. And that's what builds men, is you break each other. And you push each other past your breaking point, and you keep going, and you keep breaking them, and you keep breaking them. And that is literally literally that sounds psychologically insane, right? I know what that sounds like. That is, if we switch now to biology, if I want to get stronger, if I want to get bigger muscles, and I want to get bigger in the gym, and I literally want to acquire physical strength, do you know what happens to the muscles in the gym when you lift weights?
Yeah, you need to tear them.
You break them down and they grow back stronger. Yeah. And women have interrupted the process of psychologically breaking people down, specifically boys. Mommies couldn't handle. Everybody gets a trophy because my kid's sad that he lost. So everybody getting a trophy was not a man's idea. Like, for me, everybody thought I was crazy when my kids got a second place trophy. While they were getting ices after the game, I made them go throw their second place trophy in the trash. You don't get a trophy for second place, bro. You get your first place trophies, and that's it. And everybody thought I was a psycho. And now my boys are the only tough ones. Now, all those same people are like trying to set their daughters up with my boys because they're men already.
That is so interesting, right? That the point of where you said, for example, a mother like has two boys, and then all of a sudden there's this realization, okay, what I experienced in this world with men, I don't want this. Like, I don't want my boys to be like those men that I saw and that I had experiences with, because maybe they even like left this woman in the process of her like raising her boys and stuff like that. So I think that's so interesting how at some point women like come back to that realization that in order for a relationship to work as well, we need to have this a man being biologically a man and a woman being biologically a woman, to be able to come together and actually function as a unity, right? And to, I mean, yeah, we are perfectly made in the way that we are made to be able to work together and come together in this unit. And I think that is so often forgotten, because if we go into this whole narrative that we talked about of like how the world looks like nowadays, mostly, then we have a problem when we come together, because both sides have like bring in the same energy, or and that doesn't work. Like if a woman is completely in her masculine, and it just doesn't work.
That's the law of the universe. Isn't it?
It's true.
This is going to sound crass, and I'll try to keep it from sounding crass.
Okay.
But again, I go back to fundamentals, right? And so it was funny because I was on, it wasn't a podcast, it was a women's group. And there were about 50 women, and the whole thing was just a Q&A with me, because women wanted to ask a man something, right? They don't have men they could talk to. And three different women in this group basically brought up the fact that, and this was a Christian women's group, and they were asking me how to handle it. And it was really awkward for me. I started blushing, but it just blew my mind. Because they basically said, like, my husband is really, really good to me. He's really sweet. He's a gentleman. He's a Christian. He's a good man. But he's just, he's really gentle in the bedroom. And I want him to be more, like, aggressive, you know? And all the women were, like, in the chat. We were in Zoom, and so you could see them typing. And it's, like, me and 50 women. And all the women were, like, clapping and all this stuff, you know? And, like, what do I do about this? And so, like, again, I won't say what I said there, but I told her, just tell him, like, when we're doing it, treat me like you hate me. Like, I want you to treat me like you just hate me, right? Like, a woman doesn't want gentle sex. She wants to feel small. Yeah. She wants to feel not helpless, but kind of helpless, right? The man wants to feel tough and big. Like, there's a primal element to it that you want to feel like a woman.
Yeah.
You want to feel.
I mean, that submissive part like comes out there like as the most strongly.
So if we want that kind of extreme, where you like as a woman, you want a man who's primal. You want to feel how bad he wants you, and you want him to, and you want to feel his strength, not unrestrained, right? Like it's every woman. If I start talking like this, I don't care if you're a feminist. I don't care what part of the world you're talking. Every woman, when I start talking about this, they're gonna be like, yeah. Ooh, yes, you know. So if it's universal in attraction like that, is my only point, then it stands to reason that if you build up from that, because that's the most primal animalistic thing we have, right? I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it's kind of funny. Like, you never feel more animalistic than like the act of sex, you know. It's like I look like that monkey on the nature show earlier. Like, you know, it's really kind of an awkward, but it is the most primal animalistic thing we do, right? And so if that is our most primal fundamental nature, and that is the you know, opposites attract sort of energy that turns a man and a woman on, right? Then it stands to reason that we need to build up from that into our psychology on what we want in a partner in terms of just how we interact on a daily basis, right? Like, you want a man who carries the heavy shit, who takes care of the hard stuff so that you can be soft and gentle, you know, right? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't mean that you know, there are times where a woman might not want to be submissive sexually. Every once in a while, she might want to be in charge, but more often than not, you're going to want that opposite, right? And in that same way, if that's true with our physical, biological, sexual needs, to me, it stands to reason that you can extrapolate that up. And you have to make it a generalization. Nothing's universal. But on the whole, usually a woman is going to be more attracted and more turned on and more fulfilled. Notice I didn't say happy. Happy is fleeting. More fulfilled when she is allowed to be creative and be feminine and not have to stop and carry the heavy shit. If you're behind the castle walls, yeah, if all the men die, grab a sword and a shield and go protect your kid, you know. But until then, you would prefer to be at home comforting the kids, who probably are afraid because there's a battle going on. If you've watched Lord of the Rings, you know, the women and children are down in the caves and they can hear the battle. And the women are holding and comforting the kids, right? The women aren't out there fighting and dying with the men. You know, no, they would have eventually, but it's a sequence, right? It's like the man goes first, then the woman, then the child. It doesn't mean the women are helpless. It just means that they're not, ideally, they don't want to be up on the wall ducking arrows, you know, like until all the men are dead. Then it's like, okay, if I have to, then of course I will for my kid, but I'm not excited about this. Whereas the man is like, bring all the arrows. I want to, like, they're having a, like in the movie Lord of the Rings, they're having a contest. They're not scared. They're having a contest of who's killing it. Like, I'm on 57. Yeah. What are you on? They're not like, oh goodness me. I hope an arrow doesn't get me. They're like diving over walls and tackling people and shit. They're having the time of their life. Every man watching that wishes he was there. It's like, I want a sword. You know, the women watching that aren't like, I want to, you know, skate down the stairs and shoot arrows at people and then dive and tackle somebody. And, you know, like, it's just, you can't argue with this stuff. These narratives are being pushed on us. But I when mean, you just look at your reactions when you're watching movies, like, no, what, like, the women are like, wow, that's cool. Right. But they don't wish they were there.
I mean, it's. Yeah. I mean, again, this is also best seen in children, because that is like what happens if you put a couple of like guys and girls, like, I don't know, even like, I don't know, 6-7 year olds or something like that in front of some sort of like TV shows or whatever. And they would immediately go for, like you said in the beginning, for like, I want to be that princess, or I want to be actually the guy fighting. And that's like, so it's actually something that so comes from our biology, and it so comes from within. And I think that is just undeniable, really. So I would love if we don't have that much time anymore, but I would love if we could dive a tiny bit into, so we've already talked about, okay, modern men. I guess a big question for a lot of women, a lot of us out there, is, okay, why do most men not want to commit? And why is there such a lack in loyalty towards women as well? And then I now noticed from my personal experience that it really depends on which space you're in, I guess, and in what kind of people you're surrounded by. But I guess the more broad narrative still, like, not still, but really is that way, that you come across as a woman a lot of men who kind of show you that they're a certain person, and then they're afraid to commit, and they kind of like try to push everything away. So why is that? And how can we get to that point of loyalty again? And maybe also, because I've heard this a couple of times, and I think you also spoke about this on your page, that a lot of men then argue, and I think this is like the new thing that came up only like the last couple of years, of men being like that hyper masculine, of being like, yeah, I can have many women. So it's like this whole thing going on. So yeah, what's happening there, and how can we find a solid ground in that?
Well, I mean, the commitment thing, listen, men have never wanted to commit. Okay. You go back to Adam, right? And he was passive. Yeah. He allowed the woman to lead. Innately, men are fighting passivity. And, you know, I said earlier, masculinity is the glad assumption of sacrificial responsibility. That's an ideal. Yeah. Okay. That's like saying in the Bible, treat others like you want to be, like, love others like you want to be loved. Like, yeah, it sounds great. But actually, in practice, it's so hard to do constantly on a daily basis. It's denying yourself constantly. And, you know, we all have, whatever your battles are, how often, and you say, I'm going to deny myself my biggest temptation. How often do you fail? Daily, hourly, right? You know,
for sure.
Yes, the ideal to strive towards with masculinity is the glad assumption of sacrificial responsibility. And I fail 80% of the time on a daily basis because I'm a flawed, human, sinful man. I'm passive by nature. I'm a descendant of Adam. I'm just as passive as he was. It's easy to point the finger and be like, oh, Adam. No, I am Adam, right? I think you have to have the humility to recognize your own humanity. And so tended to make men commit in the past was social pressure or necessity for survival, right? So like beginning of the movie Braveheart, when he's talking to the woman, you know, that became his wife, you know, he says, I'm going to fix this house up. And she goes, well, how are you going to do that? He said, well, my sons are going to help me. And she goes, well, what sons are you talking about? And he says, well, I was hoping you could help me with that. Right. That was kind of how he told her he was interested. you know, it was an
That's a good way.
And so you need, you know, you needed a woman to create the life you wanted, right? Like you couldn't just go be single. Being single wasn't, it was never a thing until like 100 years ago, you know. And then until the last 20 years, there was a lot of social pressure to commit. You know, I grew up in an era where if you even lived with a girl before marriage, it wasn't, most people were okay with it, but it was still kind of frowned upon. Whereas 10 years before me, you know, somebody that's 50, like you did not live with somebody before you got married. There was just, it was a no. Whereas now everybody lives together before they get married. Like people will call you crazy if you don't. So a lot of it is just the social pressures around it that forced commitment have just been taken off. Otherwise, men would have always not wanted to. I think it's.
But what kind of reason can we then find in a world like this where it's actually not like, I mean, the outward world tells us that it's not really necessary, right? You don't need marriage, you don't need that, you don't need this. And then I feel like in my heart that I desire that and that I want this commitment.
Well, as a woman, what you have to do is, here's the thing, like on paper, this is one of those realities that, you know, you can't really talk about without getting canceled and getting a lot of hate. On paper, of course a woman wants commitment. It's all upside for her. She gets safety. She gets security. You know, like in the world that we're talking about with a man being the way that I'm talking. So for me, that means my wife is safe. She's secure. She's provided for. She doesn't have to work. I do all the battles. I patrol the perimeter and the castle wall. And she gets to stay at home and be feminine and girly and happy and raise the kids, right? Well, that's a great deal for her. Of course, every woman wants that.
It is.
Okay. On paper, a man looks at that as a raw deal, unless the woman is equally committed. If a man is willing to sacrifice his life for you every single day, unless that's reciprocated with the things that he wants most from a good, from a glad heart. A lot of women will do it, but they'll do it grudgingly. And all that really means is like, all I need is for you to just appreciate it, genuinely appreciate it. You know, I've got it up in my stories right now. Just like, remind us who we are. Tell us you are brave and you're courageous. You are my hero vocally, right? Like love on us, like be sweet to us, be a joy to be around. Don't gripe when we come home, right? Like if we are taking all the heavy responsibilities off of you, then don't create drama out of things that aren't that big of a deal when we come home.
That feels like the least that we can do, right? It's like, is you so home, like simple?
I want you to run up into my arms like we're in a movie.
Yeah.
And like, I want you to like kick your legs in the air and like just be like, I want you to squeal like a little girl when I come home from patrolling the wall. And that's all, that's it. Really, that's all it is, man. You know, and be, and like, let's have the kind of sex that I was talking about. Like, I want you to not even want me to take my armor off. I want you to want me to be smelly and dirty and be turned on by how manly I am, right? Like, let's just come jump in my arms and let's throw everything off the kitchen table and do it right now. You know, like, you know, and it's, I mean, and I think if a man knew that a woman was like, here's what you'll get from me if you commit to me. You'll get a glad-hearted woman. You'll get an appreciative woman. You'll get a happy, joyful woman that will treat you like you're my hero. I'll take care of you. I'll nurse your wounds that you got in battle. You know, I'll nurture you, which is so in a woman's nature anyway. It's like, you know, he comes home and his feet are hurting and he's bloody or whatever. And it's like, just sit and take care of me, man. Like, I have to be tough all day. Like, I want you to like put a wet wash rag on my head and just be sweet to me, right? Like, if a man knew he was getting that and you vocalized that and you conducted yourself that way and it wasn't like this resentful or like, and I think a lot of women are like, they might want to be that way, but I think feminism has made them worry that if they treat a man that way, he'll take advantage of you. And in some cases, that's true. I mean, and then if he does, then put up a boundary. You know, don't put boundaries up. Don't even need to be there yet as a maybe. And I think that's what a lot of women do is they preemptively put boundaries up because the world's told them, oh, all men are abusive. It's like, why don't you try it and see if he is first? And if he does abuse it, then maybe you don't run into his arms, right? But until he proves that he's not trustworthy, treat him as if he is the kind of man that can be trusted, and he will live up to that. And so I would encourage women to like tell him what's in it for him, because you know, if he's not getting that, it's a raw deal.
How can a man? Because I also wanted to like obviously focus a bit on men, but how can a man like approach a woman in a way that she knows she can really, like, I don't know, get into that trust, you know? Is there like something that you would say, okay, you really show her in that way that she can show you that, you know? Because yes, it needs to have this, like, security.
I didn't know what to do as a young guy either. I had less sources to learn from than modern guys do. Like, there weren't podcasts like this to listen to back then, like, you know, 20 years ago. I've been with my wife for, we started dating 18 years ago. I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
Podcasts, sports, you know, you know, we had satellite radio. If I could give men advice now, what I would do now is I would just be like William Wallace. I would be bold and assertive. I would just look her right in the eye and say, you're going to have my babies and you're going to stay home. And I'm going to be, and I'm going to treat you like a queen. And I'm going to go do every single hard thing there is to do. And I will make every dream you have come true. If you want a picket fence, you'll have one. If you want a hot air balloon ride, you'll have one. You tell me what you want and I will create the world of your dreams. All I need you to do is say yes.
Yeah. Like, for a mature woman, that should
for
work.
Any woman, for if sure. a man sat across from you that was good looking and said, here's what I'm going to do. That's what William Wallace did. That was their first date. She snuck out of her house. They got on a horse. He rode to where his old house was and said, this is the life. He said, look around. This is the life I want. I'm going to have sons. Yeah. I'm going to build this place up. We're going to do all this. And she said, well, how are you going to do that? He said, you're going to help me. You're going to have my babies. I would just be super assertive. I would look a woman right in the eye across dinner. I wouldn't break eye contact. And I would say, here's what you want. I will make your heart's desire will be yours. All you have to do is ask. And I'm the kind of man that can make that happen for you. All I want from you, all I want from you is to run into my arms and kiss me like we're drowning when I get home. That's it. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds
I think most
good.
Women would be.
Yeah, I think. That. I think actually I would go for that.
I think most women would immediately be like, I'm quitting my job. I'm quitting my job. You know, you want to have a room you want to have a room that you can paint in? Okay. Just be grateful. Yeah. Just be appreciative. Because women have no concept of the lengths a man will go to make a woman smile. We really will. Like a genuine, authentic, feminine smile. Just seeing the joy in your eyes. We'll crawl across broken glass. Thousands of songs have been written by men about this stuff. Men are at our heart. If we're not cynical, we're very romantic. We really are. But I mean, if I was a man, I would sit across from a woman, just total, you know, totally just outlandishly just tell her, you're going to have my babies. And every woman would be like, I'm quitting my job right now. That's what I would do.
I mean, I guess there needs to be like a little bit of like a narrative around that, a bit of like a backstory.
Women like
it
if you're a little crazy.
But for sure. What? Yeah.
It's like, no, that's going to happen. You don't know it yet. You can fight it if you want. Good luck. I know you're not ready for that. Because
that's kind of a lot. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but it will. You won't be able to stop thinking about it. Tonight, after we go home, you're going to go to bed thinking about what I just said. And you're going to wake up in the morning thinking about what I just said, too. And sooner or later, you're going to realize that that's what you want. And I'll be here.
And I think that definitely works. It brings in all the qualities and the things that a woman wants to see in a man, right? And all the things that make her feel safe are kind of packaged in that approach, in a way. So,
a combination of leadership and vision and courage and... brashness, that bold masculinity and all that stuff, you know, like every woman, I don't care how masculine she is. Like, here's the thing. Okay. I don't care how tough and masculine a woman is. It's a joke compared to you're an average man, you know, I will never be as good at being a woman as even the average woman, much less a woman that's really good at being a woman, you know? And so as soon as a woman has an encounter with a truly, truly masculine man, she immediately becomes a giggly little girl. Doesn't matter.
She's melting into her.
So it's your job. You said melting.
Yeah.
It's his job to be the flame.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hot and scary. And you'll be like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, watch Braveheart. She was like, wow, ooh, you know, she wasn't immediately like, yeah, let's have babies. She was like, she just kind of giggled and was like, huh, you already thought about our whole future? He's like, yeah. And then he goes and he speaks to her in other languages and tells her all this stuff. And she's like, you know how to read? He said, yeah, I'll teach you. Do you want to learn French or English?
Yeah.
Just brash, brash, brash. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. No woman can resist that.
Yeah.
No woman on the planet could resist that. Every woman that watches that movie is like, oh, if a man did that for me, woo. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I say. Emulate. Just go act like William Wallace. Don't read a book about how to be a man. Don't listen to a podcast about being a man. Like, just mimic.
But listen to this one, okay?
Well, this one.
But listen to this.
But the whole point of this is like, just mimic. Pick somebody and mimic it. And like, William Wallace would say something like that. If he went on a date and he knew he wanted you, he wouldn't act like soft about it. He would look you in the eye and say, I want you. I never want to spend another, now that I've found you, I don't want to spend a day apart from you for the rest of my life. I will make you tell me what your dreams are and I'll make them happen.
so good. Thank you. There's the last question that I ask everyone on here. Is there one thing that you wish more humans would know about and that touches you deeply?
I don't know if it touches me deeply from an emotional standpoint, but I think it's really important in our modern era. And it's a cliche, but it doesn't seem to be cliche enough anymore. It's the mark of an intelligent mind to be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. And there are far too many people that get stuck in the dogma of whatever their religious beliefs are. And I'm not talking about religion. You know, everything is basically a religion at this point. You know, liberalism and their ideology is a religion, right? Like, you know, and as
You're always following something.
And as Christians, it's like, yes, we need to know the word. We need to be in the Bible. We need to be in all these things, you know, but we also live in a fallen world and you have to adapt. The Bible is another example of an aspirational thing, not a realistic thing.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to entertain what the Bible says. You have to be able to believe what the Bible says and try to live by it while also acknowledging that that's never going to be reality on a human planet. You know, you talked about loyalty to, you know, men being loyal. I mean, King David wasn't loyal to his woman. You know, Solomon wasn't loyal. You know, there's a long track record of men falling. And the higher status the man is, the more likely that is how Lucifer will attack him in a way that he's unprepared for, you know? And so as nice as it would be to sit and say like, oh yeah, men should be loyal. The reality is there's an enemy that is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And the most consistent way that the enemy tears good men down is through sex, you know? And so that's when I say you need to be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. It's like, yes, a man should be loyal and he should follow the word and all these things. But if any woman thinks that any man is above temptation in that way, she's fooling herself. And more importantly, if you as a man ever think that you are invulnerable to that, you know, it doesn't matter how great your integrity is. Satan knows your weaknesses. It doesn't matter if you don't sleep, you know, how much you go without sleep. Satan never sleeps. You know, he is infinitely more powerful and more conniving than any human intellect. And he will come at you in a way at a time that you're not prepared for. And so if there's one thing that we can almost guarantee, it is that men fall and frequently do have moments of where they're not loyal. And I'm not justifying it. I fight against it constantly, but it's something that I'm aware of. Like, there's a ticking time bomb in me all the time. And if I ever give it any oxygen at all, it could explode. If it happened to King David, if it happened to King Solomon, if it happened to, you know, Ravi Zacharias, how many great Christian men in our modern time has it come out that they were having an affair with their secretary? Or, I mean, it's like, it's, if there's one thing we can know for sure, it's that it seems like almost every man we end up finding out wasn't loyal. You know, and so I think, you know, Jordan Peterson talks about, you know, how, you know, if for any of us, if we would have been in Germany in the 40s, we would have all been Nazis. We can think we wouldn't have been, but we would. And I think as humans, if you really are a Christian, it doesn't need to be this self-righteous, like, oh, I would never cheat. It's like, no, I am deplorable. I am a miserable. There's nothing good in me. I am completely filled up with sin. And the minute I think that I'm not, is pride that Satan is going to exploit.
Yeah.
And so if there's anything we should believe as Christians, it should be an awareness of our fallibility and how easily that our whole life is nothing more than a house of cards, ever. There's never, it's a house of cards because of the power of the principalities and the spirits and the spiritual warfare that the enemy can bring to bear on us. And he doesn't bring it to bear on these passive men. It's easy as a passive observer to look at somebody like Ravi Zacharias or King David or whatever and point the finger. Well, Satan's not attacking that guy. He's sitting at home. He's not doing anything for the kingdom. He's not a threat.
Yeah, they're uninteresting, basically.
It's like, it's easy to sit and say, the men that are in the fight, it's a house of cards. And the minute you lose respect for that is the minute you fall, because the enemy is brilliant and he is a roaring lion seeking to devour. And that would be the one piece of advice I would give men is you're never safe from disloyalty to a woman. That's the easiest, most consistent way that the enemy brings down every good man.
Thank you.
That's not good news. Good. But
wait, not good news. Still like a very powerful way to end this episode, I feel. So appreciate that. And the very last thing is, you can tell everyone, where can people find you? I mean, you kind of said it at the beginning, but we'll just plug it here again. So here's your space.
I don't have a whole lot going on. I just write on Instagram. The Instagram handle is @thewisdomofkings.
Perfect.
If you listen to the podcast and like it, send me a DM.
Thank you so much for being on here. I really appreciate this conversation and so looking forward to publishing this one. And thank you for all that you bring to the table.
Thank you for having me.